Will you turn with me to the book of the first of Samuel? This is where I intended to read last evening, and yet the Lord would have his way, and I'm pleased to be able to discern it. But this morning I wondered, well, what was similar? Where were the similarities between what I was talking about last night and what we'll be talking about tonight? And I hadn't noticed. But will you please notice that we have a list of generations here in the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, taking us back to a family, and a family that had become the testimony for God, a family that was walking in the ways of God, a family that was pleasing God when the nation outside wasn't. And I thought, well, that's just like Jairus' daughter. And then you'll notice this, that there comes trouble in the house, and then there's trouble in the tabernacle, and then there's trouble in the battlefield. And the extent of the trouble is such that a woman gives birth to a child and calls his name Ichabod. The glory of the Lord is departed. And I thought, well, there's the widow of Nain's son being carried out. And yet it pleased God to raise a man to take the responsibility. Young man, stand up. And that young man, Samuel, he takes the responsibility of maintaining the testimony until he's sent to a man after God's own heart that should do all his will. A man that had to meet the failure of the first king. A man that had to meet the demands of the altar. A man that had to answer to all the restlessness of the prophet. And so you get the king and the priest and the prophet. The prophet, the priest, and the king. And there in 1 Samuel 16, God says to Samuel, this is he, arise, anoint him. And then we go on to Solomon. And David says, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet. And Solomon is to be crowned king in Zion. And we've got the prophet, and the priest, and the king again, and anointed with Jehovah's permission and pleasure. And then we take that right over to chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews, God hath anointed him with the oil of gladness above his companions. And his companions were all the prophets and the priests and the kings that were before him. And he's anointed above them all, because he's an everlasting king. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, and he's God's last word in prophecy. There'll never come another priest. There'll never come another prophet. There'll never come another king. The Lord Jesus has been anointed with the oil of gladness above them all. And I thought, surely, that's Lazarus raised from the dead, bringing the consummation to the work. So there you are. I didn't notice that till this morning. So there's still a lot to learn, isn't there now? We're only like that woman. We're only touching the hem of the garment yet, aren't we? My, it's going to be glorious to see him face to face. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Jehu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship, and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portion. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, that is Elkanah, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that is Hannah, so she provoked her, that is Peninnah, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunken. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, for her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord. There. And God will bless you with his own precious word. Brethren, just to have a look at the background, we'll have to go back into the book of Judges, because that's where Samuel is. He's the last of the judges. As W.W. Faraday, I think it is, he called him God's emergency man. The man that laid hold upon the period of the judges and the beginning of the king. God's emergency man and a tremendous man. He's the only man in the whole of the scriptures where it says he served the Lord all the days of his life. He's of such a character that the place of his birth was too high for Saul the son of Kish to reach. He never went there. King David only went there once. And when Samuel died, it says they shut up the house at Ramah. There wasn't a man to take his place. Brothers, sisters, men like that are missed. And they always will be missed. Now, when you go back into the book of Judges, we'll remember this. That the children of Israel were in subjection to the Philistines for 40 years. But when we come to Samson, it says he began to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And he judged Israel for 20 years. The work that Samson begun is the work that Samuel finished. And it says concerning the Philistine came no more up into the land of Israel so long as Samuel lived. And so that's how near we are getting to these judges of the book of Judges. Now, if you take that genealogy back again, Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite, take them back, and in a way you come to, brother, you come to another Ephrathite, but his name is Elimelech. Now, will you please notice the difference? That when the beginner of a family, Zoph the Ephrathite, is setting up his house and setting up his house in the fear of God, there's another man that's taking his house away from Bethlehem Judah, the Ephrathite, and he's taking them down to Moab. So will you follow, brother and sister, by contrast? The history that we have given to us concerning Elimelech and the history concerning Elkanah, and we'll reach the conclusion that it's much better to serve the Lord than to go down into Egypt. Now that man, he only intended to sojourn there. That man took two children, and I'm not surprised that the names mean 60 and pining. You couldn't expect healthy children from a man with a conviction like that. Brother, Elimelech means God is my king. And that man is turning his allegiance from God, and he's going down to the desirable plains of Moab. His children have got to be sickly and pining. And if they're sickly and pining, then I'm not surprised that they make an unscriptural and an unequal yoke, and they take two women of the country of Moab to be their wives. Will you notice that, brethren? But when we come to this man, this man, Zoph the Ephrathite, is going on, and is going on generation by generation, until they've reached the heights of Ramathaim Zophim, and that's the only time you find its full name. Every other time it's Ramah, but God wants to show us where they'd really reach. Ramathaim Zophim. Ramathaim, of course, is in the plural, isn't it? Actually the dual. It means the double height, the twin height, and Zophim means the watchers. And that's where the genealogy of this man Zoph had reached in the days of Elkanah. My, what a spiritual height. Brother, there was barrenness as far as Elimelech was concerned, and he went to Moab. There was barrenness as far as Elkanah was concerned, and he went to Peninnah. What a shame. What a shame. You know, brother, we're just told the condition of Hannah. She had no children. And then we're told the reason of that condition. For the Lord had shut up the womb. And then we're shown the result of that condition. She was sorely grieved, bitter in her soul, and she wept before the Lord. My, there's a lovely condition. Our brother and sister, we'll talk about Hannah a bit later on. But now, here we have twin heights, brother and sister. And I'm going to say this. If ever a man or a woman is going to be spiritual, it'll be twin heights. It won't be one. Now, I'm not being nasty, brother. I've seen a couple of the books. And I've got as many as what you've got. So if I criticize you, I criticize myself. Our brother and sister, I'm saying this. You can read all the books that John Ritchie sells. You can read all the books that you can get over from America. And you can fill this pool that you can't put another thing in it. But I tell you this, it won't do you any good. It'll condemn you. Condemn you. Do you remember that? The Lord Jesus says, better not to have known than to know and to do it not. Now, my brethren, there ought to be twin heights, that as our knowledge increases, so our experiences increase, so that knowledge and practice are running hand in hand together, and we are living on spiritual heights, brother and sister. Oh, I know, we have a lot of brethren, neither as good as the Benjamites. They can split a hair, can't they? Eh? I'm not interested in that. I'm ready to learn from anybody. But I want my experience to run parallel with that that God shows me. Isn't that the meaning of the word that John gives us in the first epistle? He shall guide you into all truth. Is that right? Now, brother and sister, it means that he's not walking in front of you and you just following him. He's showing you everything there is from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He opens the door and he shows you a truth and he says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And my brother and sister, if we were just dependent upon this book and dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal the truth of this book, then our spiritual experience would be running parallel with our knowledge. Now here they are, brother and sister. Oh, I reckon you could go to Elkanah and you could ask him a lot of questions, you could that. But brother and sister, you couldn't say to Elkanah, practice what you preach. He was a man of experience as well as a man of knowledge. Now, young brethren, some of us are getting old, and it's a lot harder to bend a tree when it's an old tree, isn't it? But it's a lot easier to bend it when it's a young one. Learn the book. Read the book on your knees, will you? While God's talking to you from the book, you talk to God while you read it. Ask God to open your eyes and then give you that ability by His Spirit to do what He's shown you out of the book. That's the way to grow, brethren. That's the way to grow. In the Acts of the Apostles, nigh the Sanhedrin and all their fellow companions there in chapter 4. He doesn't say, my, where does Peter get all his knowledge from? He's only just an ordinary individual. He's just a fisherman. There's his knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was that that made the difference, brother. That will always make the difference wherever we go. I'm going to tell you something. And perhaps you think I'm patting myself on the back. But don't take that, please. But it's an illustration. I owe this man quite a lot that I'm talking about. And he was a departmental manager in Vandenberg in Germany, the salt margarine people. And I worked under him. And I was with the crowd of men. And this is what they said. We wouldn't take a word of what he's got to say. Because he doesn't live up to what he says. We listen to you. My brother and sister, is it right in your own locality? Is it? Do they know what you are? Or is it that they just know what you know? Oh no. It's Ramathim. They're the twin heights. As knowledge increased, so their experience increased. Because all scripture is God-breathed, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might reach maturity, truly furnished unto every good work. That's what it's for, brothers and sisters, not to argue about it. For it's that the child of God might grow from his milk to his bread to his strong meat for them that are exercised as to be able to discern between good and evil. And so this is my first lesson from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, brothers and sisters, and it is time. In the famine that's about it, it's time as we learn from the Spirit of God, the truth of the Word of God, that we were practicing what He teaches us day by day. I don't know whether I ever told you the story, but I'll never forget it, and I'll never forget the sight. You know, when I first went over to Norfolk, I didn't know many people. And I'd finished a meeting out there in a village, and a farmer said to me, "Will you come back to supper?" I said, "Delighted." He was 79, his wife was 83. And after supper he said, "I'd like you to meet my daughter." Marty Newell was married, so he hadn't got anything like that in view. I didn't even know he had a daughter. I knew he got four sons, and the four sons were great hefty fellows, and they were bigger than me. I said, "Yes, I'd like to meet your daughter." And he took me out of the house and across the farmyard and to another little place. And he opened the door, and it was very sparsely appointed, hardly a thing in it. And there across from the door, there was a cot. And I saw him 79 and his wife 83 and a cot. And I went over to that cot and I looked in, and there she was. She was about so big, with a head about as big as her body. And I looked at him and the tears just ran down his cheeks. The joy of his heart after four hefty sons, a daughter. And that daughter became the greatest grief that ever that man knew. He said she's 35 years old. Saint. Brother. Brother. How long have you been saint? Sister. How long? Are we just babes in Christ? Or are we growing up? Little children, young men, fathers. Isn't that how John refers to them? Let it be so, brothers, if you. No, I'm not criticizing. I know that when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. And we all need this exhortation, don't we, in these days in which we live. That as we read God's word by His Spirit, and the Spirit reveals the truth, then let's walk according to the truth that He reveals, because it's going to bring us to spiritual maturity. Now, will you notice something else about this home? There was love there, brother. Now Elkanah loved Hannah. Obviously, there's another one. Aye, that's right, that's right, that's right. We'll have to come to her a bit later on. Doesn't say that he loved Peninnah. No, no, no. Peninnah was brought in for a purpose, not because he loved her. And it is this, the name of the one. The name when there was one, that's the force of the word. With Hannah, and the name of the second was Peninnah. My, it must have been a lovely home, wasn't it? I reckon there wasn't a discordant note, was there now? Now, a lot of us are married here, aren't we? Eh? Oh, I'm not going to butt into your married life. Got enough troubles of my own. But, brother and sister, I know couples that have been married years, and they can still be at each other's throat as though they only knew them each other yesterday. Hmm? There's no willingness to give than to yield. There's no willingness to show affection one to the other and give place. There's no readiness to acknowledge the mighty miracle of God in marriage, they too shall be one flesh. Hmm? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? And it says Elkanah loved Hannah. That's lovely, isn't it? My, I can almost see him every time he passes, put his arm round the shoulders. Eh? I'll get a bit sentimental, brother. A bit sentimental. When did you tell your wife last year you loved her? Eh? You take her for granted, don't you? You try sometimes. You might get more out of it. But brother, here is the very basis of love. The very basis of fellowship, the one with the other. That ought to be the basis of an assembly, brother and sister. Shouldn't it not? How are you, brother? I hope you're fine. You know what some sort of is, eh? You know what I mean, don't you, eh? Got a lot of hypocrites sometimes, aren't we? By this shall all men know that ye my disciples if ye have love one to another. I'm going to tell you this. There are a number of things that I disagree with my brethren about. But I'm going to tell you, I love them all. And that's before they change. And this is, well, we're going to be changed, isn't it? My brother and sister, don't be that rough piece of grit in the assembly, will you?
Don't be that ass that hurts and smarts and burns, will you? If you can't say anything good about your brother, then keep your mouth shut, please, brother. A brother came to me criticizing. I said, brother, please don't. You're talking to the wrong person. You'd better talk to him about it. And that's the way to solve them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And here is a lovely atmosphere. There upon the pinnacle of Christian maturity. And not only there, but resulted. That means the watchers, the watching thereunto with prayer, and the not allowing the enemy to come and encroach upon the mountain peak of the spiritual experience. My, that they've gained, they're going to keep it, and they're going to hold it. They're not going to take it for granted, brethren. Let him that think of these standards take heed lest he fall. There's love. No. Tell you something else too, brother. There's gift. Have you noticed that? And he gave caution. There's gift. Do you want an assembly with gifts, brother? You'll find that assembly there on the mountain peak of the Matthew's Orphan. You will. Oh, I tell you, you'll find them down there in the valley. But the gifts won't do them any good. Eh? I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. They can. My, that they've gained, they're going to keep it, and they're going to hold it. They're not going to take it for granted, brethren. Let him that think of these standards take heed lest he fall. There's love. No. Tell you something else too, brother. There was gift. Have you noticed that? And he gave caution. There was gift. Do you want an assembly with gift, brother? You'll find that assembly there on the mountain peak of the Matthew's Orphan. You will. Oh, I tell you, you'll find them down there in the valley. But the gift won't do them any good. Eh? I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. They came behind in no spiritual gift. But because they were down there, they didn't do them that. There was division. There was immorality. There was heresy. There was carnality of everything. They came behind in no gift. But I tell you this, if you want the best out of gift, then you'll be living in the spiritual high prayer. And you'll be watching the run to the prayer. And you'll be taking nothing. Nothing for granted. And you will be dependent upon your God for your place. And to keep you there. Lovely gift. And upon you. Will you notice something else, brother? There was strength there. Am not I better for thee than 10 sons? That's a lovely thing, isn't it? You're talking about 10 virgins. We don't expel them. I'll speak to myself. I don't expel. Accept them as a church, but 10 is never the number of the church. 10 is the number of human responsibility in the face of divine command. That's 10. That's why you've got 10 times. Human responsibility in the face of divine command. And here he is. My, this lovely house, this lovely assembly. There love completely permeates the whole of the atmosphere. And there is just being exercised there. And they're being blessed and enriched and they're being nourished by it. And here's a man with strength. Spiritual strength. and giving to God the claims that God has upon his life.
My, we're not just talking about coming to a gospel meeting now, are we? We're not just talking about coming to a Bible reading or something like that.
We're coming to something that God intended, the assembly, that it ought to be a spiritual presence, permeated with life, gifting exercise to Protestant the wealth, and strength being manifested. For God has his own way, and his people walking in obedience to himself. Now there it is. Can you see the contrast, brother and sister? There's the other exercise. That man has gone down to Moab, and he's got two sickly, tiny sons with their unfaithful yoke, and that's where he died. And a poor woman comes back again and says, call me no more, Naomi, or call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Now, let's come into reality. Because even into circumstances like this, things can happen that are going to hurt, brother and sister. And that's why we've always got to be on the watch. You must never take things for granted. Never. Never at any time. Constantly. Listen, Devin. I've said it before. Does the devil ever bother you? Does he know? Because if he doesn't, you'd better have a look in your own life. Perhaps you think you're not worth bothering about. But I tell you this, the more you're going to live for Christ, and the more you're going to serve Christ, then the more you become the target of the enemy of Christ. Am I right? Ah, dear. Look, there's Israel down there at Jerusalem. No, they never had any borrow from Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian. None! But wait till Nehemiah comes. Wait till that man comes with authority from the throne. And the strength of the throne behind him, and the provision of the throne behind him, and he's going to build a wall and kick that man out where he ought to be. I tell you, then the trouble starts, doesn't it? And that's why they just wanted to get rid of Nehemiah. Somebody rather well know. Get rid of him and it'll all revert to that very wall. My brother and sister, I tell you this. I'd rather be the target of the devil and please God than to just rest and sit in comfort and unconcern and let the devil just go by. But here's a lovely meeting. A lovely assembly. My God is worshipped. That's the first one. I didn't bring that up. Worship God there. As final. Love, gift, and strength. My, they were all there. But it says this. Hannah had no children. Can you imagine that, brother? Can you imagine that? An assembly in such a spiritual condition as that, and no children? Oh, I know lots of assemblies, they've just had prayer meetings, weeks of prayer meetings, and they've searched their hearts and wondered why they had no blessing. They can't see anything wrong with the assembly, and yet there's a bang. And the mystery deepens. It says, for the Lord had set up her womb. My, there's a mystery. And still, living for God, reaching the spiritual machine, watching each other,
an atmosphere of love and distance. And going up to the dialogue year by year to worship. My, the thought of it.
That's why he took another wife. He was going to transfer the problem in the house. And so Peninnah provided him with sons and daughters. There they are. But I tell you this, the love went out of the house. And sorrow and grief took its place. That poor woman was vexed and troubled every time they went up to Shiloh to worship. There it goes. Elkanah had got all the children he wanted, but the woman that he loved was grief stricken and sad and vexed in her soul. And the woman that had come in just mocked her and provoked her. My brother, my sister, will you please remember this? There are conditions in a local assembly that you dare not touch. For if you touch them, you'll make the situation a lot worse than it is. And there are conditions that you must leave in the hands of God and leave it there and pray about. No, be careful there. Now here a name means a pearl, a coral, some say a ruby. But I tell you, brother and sister, if you turn to the book of the Proverbs, it says this, that wisdom is to be desired above rubies. He was doing the same.
My lovely wife then.
Oh, if he'd have only known, if he'd have only known the consequences of that act that he'd done, if he'd have only known what God was going to do later on, my, if he only knew the issues away there in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 6, if he'd have only known the mind of God, he'd have never brought an inner. My brother says, don't bring your Peninnahs in with it. Might be a fascinating thing, might be a lovely thing to look at, might be an attractive thing, might bring souls in, you might get them by the judgment, by the score. But I tell you this, give me 1 Samuel, and you can have all of Peninnah's children. 1 Samuel. And you can have all of Peninnah's children. Will you have a look at that genealogy of Korah? Away there in the first book of Chronicles. Elkanah. One of Peninnah's children. And you. And have you got it? Peninnah's children were just living for the present. But Samuel was living for the future. And for God's glory. And for God's purpose. Give me one soul. And you can have all the others that have been brought in with the attraction. With all the sideshows. With all the fascination, give me one soul for my son. Listen, brother, I'm speaking out of experience. And I've led a number to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. The nearer a child is born to natural circumstances, I'm talking about natural birth, the nearer a child is born to natural circumstances,
there's more hope for that life to continue. My brother is preparing in a spiritual sense.
Give me a soul upon whom the Spirit of God has been working, and as the gospel seems takes as an exercise of repentance toward God, a turning away from sin, and a crying out, what must I do to be saved? Give me a soul like that that knows the need of Christ. Give me a soul that's born again according to God's word, and it can have all the confessions of these great big expeditions from us. Just can have it. The Lord did set up a roof, and it brings a fascinating thing in that would solve the problem. The problem was made 1,000 times worse. No wonder he left with broken hearts. You see, brothers, not only was Peninnah gloating over Anna, just like Hagar gloated over Sarah, she could predict the time from Abram and Sarah couldn't. She was despised in the eyes of a servant, and that Peninnah, she provoked her as an adversary. Not only that, but when she went up to Shiloh to worship, she stood there before the tabernacle, for it is the tabernacle, brother, though it's called the temple. Temple wasn't built till Solomon's time, was it? And there, as she stood before the tabernacle, there was Eli sat down by one of the side posts at the first day. And he saw a woman, and her lips were moving and not a sound. She cried. That heartbroken woman is reduced by a high priest that ought to have known better, ought to have asked the question before he came to a decision. She reduced a poor woman in all her grief. No, she said, I'm not a daughter of Belial. Will you notice that? Will you notice that? I reckon that went home like an arrow, to Eli's heart. Because both his sons, the sons of Belial, that's what he says. No, I'm not the daughter of Belial. Out of the sorrow of my heart will I pray. The Lord's not married to him. And Anna could be. Really, is that? You don't know why? You don't know why, brother? Oh, it's lovely and simple. Lovely and simple. You know what a name means, don't you? A name means grace. Grace. Did you ever realize that grace can be barren? Eh? Grace barren. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there of being supplied till it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. Brothers, grace can be barren. Grace can only produce on one ground. Thy grace, he says. Well, why aren't we all saved then? Why aren't we all saved? Because grace can only produce it from one ground. Not the ground of faith. By which all soul we have access by faith into this grace. Wherein we can grace produce it. You see, Eli, the high priest, has encouraged her heart The Lord grant thy request, that thou hast asked of him, and to lay hold of it. Lay hold of it, and from that time he stands on the ground of faith, and God is going to answer us all. And the child is born. Ask for the Lord. And have we got the two, brother? And there's some lovely things here to consider. Some basic things that belong to the assembly. Some things that are so much lacking among many of God's people. Oh, if you would only get here, brethren. My, the assembly could be still turning the world upside down. They would. Now, brethren, as we say, when Eli is going up, Hannah says, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you until I've weaned the child. She now loves him. Isn't that what David says? My soul is as a weaned child. And there she nursed him. There she suffered him. And brother, brother, I don't want to get crude or intimate, but please, they didn't put a child on the bus with no sin. No, no. I noticed that Isaac was 5 years old before he was weaned. And I know Deborah, the nurse of Rebecca, that word nurse is a suckler. And when the parent, the mother became drunk, then the child was given to a suckler. Everybody? And that child became the responsibility of that one to feed with milk, to feed with milk, until they were able to wean the child, to wean the child. Brother, there are lots of Christians that are not weaned. Not weaned. Oh, I'm thinking about it. I know one that's been taken home practically, home now. If I visited that home every Wednesday night, you'd just all the meetings. But if there was one Wednesday night that I couldn't go, we weren't me. We always had to be nursed. We always had to be kind. Listen, my brother. The same that I was going to say something wrong there. I better tell you what it was. I was going to say the time came. Then Hannah said to that little fellow, it's not me anymore. You see yourself. And she set a hand bone in his hand. As she never did. Because he was Jesus. So he wouldn't be a hand bone. So I better put the thing right before you. You get it. So you see what I mean now? You see what I mean? Now you, good lady, with your children, hasn't there come the time when you've just got a piece off the loaf and you've just laded it with butter and sugar in the child's hand and the child has got more around its mouth than in its mouth, but it's made an endeavor to feed itself, hasn't it? My, rejoices my heart to see a young soul, my, get hold of this book. And the things that can get out of this book, my, they leave the garbage can in the wood. And a lot of these, my, they can get out of this book, the things that are not in. You know, they get more around the mouth than they get in it. But I tell you this, they're making an effort to feed themselves. the ability to stand on their own two feet. On their own two feet. And they turned the time, and the lad was young, and he was young this day, he was young. I don't know, doesn't say how old he was. He was young, and his mother took him, according to the vow that she'd made the Lord before he came. And she said to Eli, I'm the woman that you saw pain, and this is the child of Jacob. And I'm lending him to the Lord, as long as he lives. Brother, he wasn't only weaned from his mother's breast, but he was weaned from his father's house as well. See? An elder brother said to me on my occasion, he said we had a brother come and ask for a letter of commendation. She was going on the holidays. And the elder brother said, I don't know whether it's a letter that you want to go away with, or whether it'll be a letter that you'll need to come back with. Because there are a lot of Christians that forget the Christian sometimes, don't you? They're not we, not we, from the place that we know. To be able to stand in a place where nobody knows you, and yet for them to know that you belong to God. Hey, that's being weaned, brother. To be offered this and to be offered that and to ask to go here or to go there and to be able to take your stand when you're away from the company of God's people and you're on your own. To be able to say, I belong to Christ, redeemed by His blood, and I don't belong to this world anymore. Hey? That's what we were on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? That's why they were scattered abroad there, throughout the lands round about. They were weaned, brothers and sisters. Weaned. Weaned. No, no, I could be critical just to you. I'm not going to be. I'm gonna leave it with you. There are lots of things that we could be weaned from. Amen. That are accepted out in a world. That rob the child of God of maturity in its Christian life. And that little fellow was left with the old man Eli. I tell you, if you want to fight the child, then meet him with an old man. I agree. Too many years in the peace, and especially an old man that he doesn't know. And there the little fellow was. And he was left with an old man that he'd never seen. And in the circumstance that he'd never known. And he saw his mother and he saw his father. Going back home. And they were leaving him there. You never hear that he said a tear. And you never hear that he ran up to his mum and said, don't leave. And you never read that he broke his heart. And they stood for the next year to come. He was being brother. He was being. What kind of an assembly is it, brother, that produces a man like that? What kind? An assembly there that you can't tell the difference between the assembly in a world? Or the assembly that is living there in spiritual heights in the knowledge of God's word and watching thereunto there? And love is the atmosphere, and gift is the exercise, and strength is manifested, and they worship in God for blessing.
My, that's the field where you'll get your family. Brother, sister, in the light of that first look, as I've searched my own heart many a time, because we want to, so can be we. Children that can stand on their own feet, and children that are going to grow up to be men like that can take the nation away out of its defeat and out of its terror and prepare him for the king that is ready to come. Ready. You take it, brother. You take it, sister. I said it all now. I'm pleased to leave you. I'm not criticizing. Because I've been talking to myself. As much as I'm talking to you. But I believe that's the foundation of recovery today. Now may God bless you. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we bow in thy holy presence. And in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that thou wilt bless the reading of thy word to us. And as we sought to understand it and apply it by thy Spirit, we pray that we may receive with its meekness the engrafted word that is able to keep on saving our souls. Keep us retentive memory and the desire to ponder these things in our hearts, that we might grow thereby. So the results may be seen in our lives, in the home, in the assembly, where we work. We pray, O God, that we might be as them that do know their God. We thank you for the help. And now, Father, again, as we make our way homeward, we commit ourselves to thee once more. We pray that thou wilt keep us in our going and preserve us from all evil. And to thee we shall give our unsaying thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.